بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector, and curer. We ask him, Jalla wa Az, to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. O slaves of Allah, O children of Adam, first and foremost I advise myself and then all of you all present here to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be conscious of Him azza wa jal during every single second of our lives if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa. Say Ameen. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the victorious ones. Ameen. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, it was just a couple of weeks back, we were anticipating the month of Ramadan, the blessed month of Ramadan. We were about to welcome the month of Ramadan. We were so excited. And Alhamdulillah, we attained the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the ones who attained His forgiveness, attained His rahmah during that special and blessed month. And here we are now, almost 2 weeks after the month of Ramadan. Let us take a few moments to evaluate ourselves. Because when you take a look back at the month of Ramadan, mashallah, the masajid were overflowing with people. The masajid were overflowing with people. For Salatul Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. And even after Salatul Isha, we used to take it upon ourselves and we used to make it to the masjid for an optional prayer, Salatul Taraweeh. We used to spend so much of time in the masajid, 20 raka'at, 8 raka'at, we used to pray behind the imam every single day during the month of Ramadan. This has to continue, not just Taraweeh, I'm talking about the other aspects. You know, coming to the masjid, making it for the imam jama'ah. All of this has to continue even after Ramadan. Because you and I, we are not Ibadu Ramadan. We don't worship Ramadan. We are not slaves of Ramadan. We are Ibadu Rabbi Ramadan. We are the slaves of the Master, of the Lord of the worlds, who is the owner of the month of Ramadan, Allah Azza wa Jal. And He Azza wa Jal is not only present during the month of Ramadan, He is present all the time. He is present 24/7, 365 days throughout the year. So we need to be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a similar manner. And after all, that is one of the main objectives of the month of Ramadan. It is to train us, to prep us for the remainder of the year. We go through 1 month of a spiritual training where the devils are locked up, they're all shackled, things are made easier for us, and we involve ourselves in various ibadat to prepare ourselves for the remaining 11 months. It is a month of taqwa. It is a month of the Quran. The month of Ramadan has a beautiful relationship with the words of our beloved Maker. It is known as the month of the Quran. Our Maker states in the Noble Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. The month of Ramadan, الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. It was during the month of Ramadan the Quran was revealed. So we built a good relationship with the Quran. We used to spend so much of time reading the words of our beloved Maker. This has to continue even after Ramadan. And we need to enhance it. Because sometimes some of us, our focus in terms of reading the Quran is sardan. In the sense, we read like parrots. Our focus is to make excessive khatma of the Quran, to complete the Quran. Whilst in reality, it's not about how much we read of the Quran, but it's about how we read the Quran. It's not about how much we read the Quran. It's about how we read the Quran. Because that is the purpose behind reading the Quran. Our Maker states in the Noble Quran,
كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب.
كتاب أنزلناه إليك, a book that we have revealed unto you, مبارك, full of blessings. Now for what purpose?
ليدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب.
ليدبروا آياته, to ponder and reflect on its verses. ليدبروا آياته
وليتذكر أولو الألباب.
And so the ones, so that the ones who have intellect, they may receive reminders through the noble Quran. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about the believers. What does He say?
إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ.
The believers, they are those, when they are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts tremble.
إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا.
وإذا تليت عليهم آياته, and when the verses, when the ayat are read to them, وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا, their iman starts to soar, their iman starts to rise.
إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون.
إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم, when they are reminded of Allah, their hearts tremble. وإذا تليت عليهم آياته, and when the verses are read to them, زادتهم إيمانا, their iman starts to sow, their iman starts to rise. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, and upon their Lord they have placed tawakkul, their trust. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the ones who have placed firm tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because after all, He is the best disposer of our affairs. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَىٰ وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in another place, He admonishes the ones who don't make tadabbur. Now we have made it very clear that the whole objective of reading the Quran is to make tadabbur. What is tadabbur? Tadabbur is to ponder on the words of our powerful maker. It's to ponder. So it's not about reading like a parrot. It's not about reading the Quran from cover to cover and making excessive khatma of the Quran. That is not the purpose. The purpose is to read and make tadabbur of the Quran. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be more specific, in Surah Muhammad, Allah Azza wa Jal admonishes those who don't make tadabbur.
أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ.
Do they not make tadabbur of the Quran? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا, or have they got locks on their hearts? Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jalla did not say, أَفَلَا يَسْمَعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَفَلَا يَقَرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَفَلَا يَطْلُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do you not read the Quran? Do you not hear the Quran? Nay, rather He used the word tadabbur. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not ponder? Do they not make tadabbur of the Quran? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِنَا قُفَالُهَا, or have they got locks on their hearts? My dear, respected elders and brothers in Islam, O slave of Allah, if you are finding it difficult to make tadabbur on the Quran, maybe if you're feeling sleepy when someone reads the Quran, if you're nodding away, or perhaps if you don't feel that tremble, if you don't feel goosebumps running on your skin, if you don't sense that shudder running down your spine when you hear about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you hear about the ayat talking about the adab, about the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is a very sad fact. And you have to know that your heart is hardening and that you have to work on your heart. Because look at the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they cannot ponder, أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِنَا قُفَالُهَا, then their hearts have got locks on them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all and protect us. Ameen. So we need to work on our hearts. The more our hearts become pure, the more our hearts become soft, that's when we'll be able to relate with the Quran. That's when the words of our Maker will have an effect on us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts towards the noble Quran. Ameen. And this, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, is a very great sunnah from the sunnahs of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu anhu, he narrates, "One night I prayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam." What an opportunity. I envy Hudhayfah radiyallahu anhu to pray with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Just imagine. Whenever we go through the ahadith, some of us at times, we just skim over the narration. Even the stories of the Quran. I say this often. Try to put yourselves in the shoes of that particular sahabi. Try to put yourselves in the story. That's when you'll be able to, you know, go through the imagery of the story. You know, you'll be able to relate to that particular incident in a very beautiful manner. Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu anhu, he reports that once, one night, I prayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he tied takbir. The narration goes along the lines of these words. And he starts off Suratul Baqarah. Just imagine to pray behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, a special night, and to hear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam recite Allahu Akbar. May my mother, my father, and myself be ransom for him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He starts off Suratul Baqarah. Okay. He ends Suratul Baqarah. He goes on to Suratul Nisa. He completes Suratul Nisa. And then he goes on to Surah Ala Imran. And then he completes Surah Ala Imran. Allahu Akbar. Three. Not small surah. We're not talking about Surah Al-Ikhlas, Falaq An-Nas. Surah Baqarah, Nisa, Ala Imran. Almost around 5.5 ajza. 5.5 juz. 5.5 ajza. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is reading this in Salah. You might wonder that I may have made a mistake in terms of the order. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read Surah Baqarah, Nisa, and then Ala Imran? That's how it is in the narration. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read Surah Baqarah, Nisa, and then Ala Imran. And scholars like Al-Qadi Iyad and Al-Qadi Abu Bakr Al-Baqilani, rahimahumullah, they state that the order, the chronological order that is in the Quran, is something that the Muslims after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made ijtihad and came about with. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not literally stick to the order that we have with us in the Quran. And that is why he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read Surah Baqarah, Nisa, and then Ala Imran. So from this, the scholars rahimahumullah state that it is permissible in salah if you wish to change the order and read. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the point that I wish to highlight is that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read Surah Baqarah, Surah Nisa, Surah Ala Imran. And this sahabi radiyallahu an goes on to say that whenever he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came by an ayah of rahmah, he used to seek the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever he read an ayah of rahmah, he used to seek the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever he read an ayah of adab, mentioning the torments, the ghadab, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used to seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to come across an ayah that makes ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an ayah that exalts and glorifies Allah Azza wa Jal, he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to glorify and exalt our Maker Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is the point. He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam did not just read like a parrot. Allah forbid, sometimes we have certain individuals, their whole objective is to read as many ajza as possible in Salatu Taraweeh to fly. Allahu Akbar. This is not from the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Look at the way he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam read. He used to relate with every single ayah, make tadabbur.
Ayah of rahmah,
he seeks the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ayah of adab,
he seeks the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ayah of grandeur and greatness, he exalts and glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is making tadabbur. Another night, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent the whole night, just imagine, the whole night repeating one ayah.
إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ.
One ayah. He kept repeating this ayah.
إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ.
Oh Allah, if you punish them, إِن تُعَذِّبُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. They are your slaves. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, if you forgive them, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Then you are the most glorious, the most wise. One ayah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept repeating this ayah until daybreak. إِن تُعَذِّبُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. إِن تُعَذِّبُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ.
What excuse do we have to even say that we don't know the Quran? Shaykh, I have not memorized the Quran, so I can't stand up in Qiyamul Layl. Remember, Qiyamul Layl is not something for only for the month of Ramadan. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every single night, he used to pray 8 raka'at of Qiyamul Layl with 3 raka'at witr. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We only do it in Ramadan.
And one verse.
إِن تُعَذِّبُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ.
He kept repeating this verse, kept repeating this verse, kept repeating this verse. And when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray, you could hear the sound of bubbling coming from his chest, like a cauldron, a bubbling pot. You know, when something is boiling, you hear that the bubbles. That sound used to emit from the chest of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he used to become so emotional when reading the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. This is the sunnah that we need to follow. At times we read, for example, when Friday comes about, we all, mashallah, we read Suratul Kahf, but we keep turning the page to see when the surah is going to end. We're not enjoying the recitation. We're not building that relationship. And I say this often. We live in a very modern era. We don't have any excuse whatsoever. No excuse. The people of the past, they could say, you know, we didn't have access to scholars. It was very difficult to access scholars. It was difficult to understand them. And maybe when scholars used to come from abroad, we could not understand their language. Maybe Arabs used to come, they used to speak in Arabic. We couldn't understand their language. We couldn't read the books. Books were not translated. Today, mashallah, there has been made so much of effort. Many of the books have been translated. You go to Darussalam publishers, you get all the books, mashallah. Many of the books have been translated. You want to read tafsir, you want the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. Now you don't have to think, oh, I need to read the Arabic version of it. No, mashallah, you have the English translation of it. And say, so if you feel like knowing about the tafsir of Surah Fatiha, it's the initiative that we have to take. All you have to do is whip out your mobile phone, the same mobile phone that you take out a number of times during the day to check your newsfeed on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram and whatnot. You just have to take that same mobile phone, go to YouTube, and instead of checking out other videos, all you have to do is Google Tafsir of Surah Fatiha. Yes, you get a number of videos, and I'm not endorsing all the videos there. Choose your scholar wisely. A scholar that you trust, a scholar that you know, has spent time seeking knowledge from authentic and verified sources. Choose that scholar, listen to the discourses of that scholar, listen to the lessons. I mean, obviously, it's the internet. You get all kinds of content there. I'm not endorsing anything there. You choose your scholar, choose the content, and mashallah, you can listen. You can derive a lot of benefit out of it. What's stopping us? And don't you think that we will be questioned about this on the day of Qiyamah? We have so many tools at our disposal, and we're not using it for in a very productive way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. Ameen. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, let us enhance this relationship that we have with the words of our powerful maker. Because the more we seek knowledge, as many scholars state, Islam is a knowledge-based religion. The more you seek knowledge, the more you're going to enjoy. The more you study about salah, the more you study about the Quran. When you read the Quran, when you are in salah, you will relate to all of this. You will relate to all of this. And this is not only for the month of Ramadan. Remember, it is not only for the month of Ramadan. Some of us, we take the Quran out, dust it for the month of Ramadan, and then once the month of Ramadan is over, the Quran goes back to that shelf. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised his sahaba, at least read the Quran. I think if I'm not mistaken, it was Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu. He advised him, at least read the Quran, in the sense, complete the Quran once a month. At least once a month. And during Ramadan, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should read it much more. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to come down during the month of Ramadan and present the Quran to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the year that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam presented it twice. Twice. Allahu Akbar. This indicates that we are supposed to spend much more time during the month of Ramadan. But even outside the month of Ramadan, we need to spend time with the Quran. Let me give you all a story. Not a bedtime story. A story about a very great individual. His name was Sufyan ibn Sa'id ibn Thawri, rahimahullah. A great legend, a great imam, a tabi'i. And this incident is mentioned in the books of history. This imam, just like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to spend, or rather he spent one night contemplating on one verse, there is a report of Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, where after, generally, he used to pray his Salatul Fajr with the wudu that he had for Salatul Isha. This was his norm. In the sense, he used to be up during the night seeking knowledge, imparting knowledge in prayer, reading the Quran. There was one night, he spent the whole night in Salah reading just one surah, Surah Al-Takathur. Al-Hakum Al-Takathur Hatta Zurtum Al-Maqabir كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن Na'im. Just one surah. How many of us have memorized this surah, mashallah? Just one surah. He made tadabbur, he kept repeating this surah. Al-Hakum al-Takathur. Holding up this dunya, piling up this dunya, has kept you busy. Al-Hakum al-Takathur. And it'll keep you busy, if, in the sense, if you keep yourself busy with it, hatta zurtum al-maqabir. Until you visit your graves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. كلا سوف تعلمون. You will come to know, but then it'll be too late. ثم كلا سوف تعلمون. And definitely you will come to know later on. كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين. He used to read this surah. He repeated it so many times during that one night. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. He was an individual, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, he was known as a very pious individual, a righteous individual, full of wara, taqwa, zuhud, righteousness, a great imam, a legend. Allahu Akbar. He lived during the rule of Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, who was the second caliph of the Khilafah al-Abbasiyya, the Abbasid Caliphate, the second caliph, Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. He lived during his era. Now this individual, this caliph, before Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, this caliph, he called Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah to his court one day. And he told the great Imam, Imam Abu Hanifa, I want you to take over the office of being a qadi. He wanted to make him the chief judge for the state. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he refused. He said, I'm not suitable for the job. And I don't want the job. This angered the ruler. And he said, you must take the job. You must take the job. The imam said, I don't want the job. Because I feel that I'm not suitable for the job and I don't want the job.
The ruler said, I insist, you must take the job. The Imam said, I don't want the job. And he said, once again, I am not fit for the job. Then the ruler looked at the Imam and said, you are a liar, you are lying. You are fit for the job, but you are lying. Then the Imam very calmly said, well, if I am a liar, then that makes my statement even more correct. I'm not fit for the job. Because I'm a liar. I'm not fit for the job. This angered the ruler, and he immediately ordered that the Imam be imprisoned. The Imam was imprisoned. The Imam was even tortured, according to certain reports. And the Imam, rahimahullah, he died in prison due to the imprisonment of this ruler. Now, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, he's in prison. Now, this ruler was looking for a qadi. He asked his courtiers, his viziers, his ministers, and they all said, the next best person is Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah. Afqah, he is well-versed in fiqh. He is a great imam. He calls for Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah. And he tells him, I want you to be the chief judge. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, very calmly replies to the ruler, I don't want the job. I'm not fit for the job. Because these great imams, they used to stay away from politics. They used to stay away from the courts of the rulers because they knew there's a lot of fitna involved there. He said, I'm not fit for the job. I don't want the job. The ruler insisted, I want you to be the judge. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah said once again, look, I'm not fit for the job. I don't want the job. Then the ruler said, fine, I'm going to execute you. I'm going to kill you. The imam very calmly said, really? Go ahead. The ruler immediately called for the executioner and he wanted the sword and everything to be brought and everything was laid in front of the imam. And that's when the imam realized the ruler is actually serious. He is going to kill me. He looked at the ruler and said, Ya Khalifa, give me time. Give me one day. Give me one day. The ruler said, fine. You can have your one day. The imam goes back home. Night falls. The imam gathers all of his belongings because he was not married. It was just himself. He gathered all of his belongings. He packed them onto a horse and he leaves. That was Iraq at that time. He leaves Iraq. Morning arrives. The ruler is waiting for Imam Sufyan. Fain Sufyan. Where is Sufyan? Where is Imam Sufyan? He didn't come. He sends his forces to go check. They go by the house of the imam and knock the door. No response. The neighbors inform them. The imam, he left the city last night. The news travels to the ruler and now he's so angry. He's enraged. The man, he left. And he orders, because he was a ruler at that time, he orders all the neighboring cities. He sends out a crier that if anybody brings information in regard to Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, there is a big reward in store for that individual. And it doesn't matter if you capture him, bring him alive or dead, there is an even bigger reward for the individual. And this was put out all over the place. The imam is now fleeing. He's on his way to Yemen. On the way, he stops by a garden because halfway through the journey, he loses whatever little food and things that he had. And now things were very difficult for him. He stops by a garden and he sees the owner of the garden. He goes up to him and tells him, are you looking for a worker? Someone to look after your garden perhaps. I can work for you for some time if you pay me. The man said, yes, as a matter of fact, I'm looking for someone. I don't mind employing you. So come, work, look out. He owned grape vineyards. So he was looking after the orchards and the vineyards. One day, now time passes, almost a couple of weeks pass by. This man also knew about this notice, about this manhunt in regard to Imam Sufyan al-Thawri. But this man did not know that this individual who is working in his orchard was Imam Sufyan al-Thawri. He did not know about it. So days pass and almost a month passes. And one day the man feels like eating a few grapes from his vineyard. He calls for the imam, not knowing he is the imam. And he tells him, Ya Rajul, can you bring me a few grapes from my garden? And please bring some sweet ones. I want to eat some sweet grapes. The imam, he brings a handful of grapes and gives the owner. The man starts to eat the grapes and he spits them out. Ah, it's bitter. Adamur, it's bitter. He calls the man and says, why have you brought me bitter grapes? I wanted sweet grapes. Go and bring sweet grapes. Imam goes again and he brings a handful of grapes. The man eats and he spits it out again. He looks at the imam and says, Ya Rajul, don't you know how to differentiate between bitter grapes and sweet grapes? I'm asking for sweet grapes. The imam looked at him and said, Ya Sayyid, master or owner, I don't know how to differentiate between the sweet grapes and the bitter grapes because I've never tasted any of the grapes. The man looks at him and says, you worked for 1 month in my vineyard, in my garden, and you have never had even one grape. The Imam said, how can I, when you have not given me permission, how can I eat? Not even one grape? He said, not even one grape. If you're not given me permission, even not one, even half a grape is haram for me. I can't have it. The man looks at him and says, you have so much of wara, so much of taqwa, it is as if you are Sufyan al-Thawri. So the Imam keeps quiet now. Then the man, amazed by this incident, he goes to the market. And he's talking to his friends. He mentions about this incident. And one of his friends asks him, can you please describe this individual to me? So the man tells him, yes, he's a man with a, you know, long beard. This is his height. This is how he is. This is his complexion. The man says, he is Sufyan al-Thawri. That is his exact description. He is Sufyan al-Thawri. Then this man says, Sufyan al-Thawri. Then I need to inform the Khalifa so that I can collect my reward. He rushes back to the garden only to find the Imam had already left. Because the Imam knew that this man is going to cause trouble. He left the garden. Now he's traveling. He travels, like I said, he's traveling to Yemen. He makes it to Yemen. And he spends some time in Yemen, there too, undercover. Nobody knows about him. Until an incident happened and the people of Yemen falsely accused him of theft. They falsely accused the Imam of theft. So when they accused him, he was brought to the governor of Yemen, Wali Yemen, the governor of Yemen. And this governor now starts to question the Imam. Did you really steal this? The Imam said, no, I have been falsely accused. Then the governor looks at the Imam and he senses something. You know, this man looks righteous. He looks very pious. He tells everybody, leave me and him alone. I want to question him alone. He looks at the man and says, Ya Rajul, when I look at you, I see this aura of goodness around you. And I sense this righteousness around you. Can you please tell me who you are? The Imam very calmly said, Ana Abdullah. I am Abdullah. I am a slave of Allah. Then the ruler, he said, I know, we are all slaves of Allah. Can you please tell me who you are? Then the Imam said, Ana Abdullah. I am Abdullah. The ruler said, I know you are Abdullah. I know that you are the slave of Allah. Can you please tell me your name? Then the Imam said, my name is Sufyan. Sufyan ibn man? Sufyan the son of who? Sufyan ibn Abdullah. Sufyan the son of Abdullah. He said, I know that you are the son of a slave of Allah. I want your father's real name and please tell me your nasab as well. And I want you to promise by Allah and give me your full name. Now the Imam had no option. He said, Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri. The minute the ruler heard this, Anta Sufyan, Anta al-Imam, you are the Imam, you are Sufyan ibn Sa'id ibn Thawri, you are the one Abu Ja'far is hunting for, there is a manhunt, there is a prize on your head, are you the individual? The Imam very calmly replies, yes, I am the individual. Are you the one who refused the office of being the chief judge? He said, yes, I am the one. The ruler kept on asking him questions and finally, the governor of Yemen, he said, Ya Imam, don't worry. If you wish, you can stay in Yemen. You're a righteous individual. Or if you wish, you can travel from Yemen wherever you want. I'm not going to disclose any information about you. And he gave him an example. If you were to hide under my foot, I will never ever lift my foot and expose you. I'm not going to disclose any information about you. The Imam, he comes out and he realizes now, you know, people are going to get to know about him. And he did not really like much of fame and popularity and all of that. These were the righteous Salaf, Allahu Akbar. A stark comparison in regard to today's so-called individuals who claim to be scholars and whatnot. And the Salaf and the Salih, rahimahumullah, Allahu Akbar. This man, Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, now decides to travel to Makkah. He travels to Mecca, he makes his way to Mecca, and now he starts to spend time in Mecca. He started to, you know, disseminate knowledge, teach others, he started to do all of this in Mecca. Now whilst he was in Mecca, news travels to Abu Ja'far that Sufyan al-Thawri is in Mecca. Abu Ja'far, no, he's enraged. He escaped me, he went all around and now he's in Mecca, I'm going to finish him off. He sends his forces, he sends his soldiers ahead of him and he starts the journey to Mecca and he informs the soldiers, capture him and keep him alive, I will come and kill him with my own hands. Allahu Akbar. The soldiers, they reach Mecca, they enter before the king and now they go around the Kaaba and they start to announce, "Where is Sufyan al-Thawri? Where is Sufyan al-Thawri? Inform us in regard to the whereabouts of Sufyan al-Thawri. We want to know where Sufyan al-Thawri is." Now the people, the students of Sufyan al-Thawri, and the others who were around him, the other scholars as well, they were scared because they thought there'll be a lot of bloodshed, a lot of corruption taking place if the Imam does not disclose himself. So they told the Imam, "Ya Imam, we have no option, but you may have to go out and, you know, tell them that you are here." The Imam, he stands up and very confidently he walks straight to the Kaaba. He walks straight to the Kaaba, and in front of the Kaaba he raises his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he prays, "By Allah, let this man Abu Ja'far not enter Makkah thrice. By Allah, let this man Abu Ja'far not enter Makkah. By Allah." He's swearing by Allah. He's swearing by Allah. And this is a righteous individual who is being chased unjustly. An imam, a legend, a man full of wara, taqwa, righteousness, tawakkul. He's making dua. "By Allah, let this man not enter Makkah." Books of history mention Abu Ja'far reaches the border of Makkah. His soul was taken. And he dies outside of Makkah. Allahu Akbar. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, this is the power of taqwa. This is the power of tawakkul. Remember, the forces of the world can unite against you. But if Allah has decreed that they should not touch even a hair on your body, they will not be able to do it.
وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ.
The one who fears Allah, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. He will make a way out from that individual, from every predicament, from every problem. وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And the one who places his tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal is sufficient for him. For after all, حَسْبُنَاللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Like I said, Allah is the best disposer of our affairs. So let us build a good relationship with the words of our beloved maker. Let us instill in our hearts taqwa. Let us bring about tawakkul. Let us perfect all of these things so that we enjoy a good relationship with the words of our maker, and so that we also build this divine link, in other words, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. We will also enhance our salah, our recitation of the Quran, and all other ibadat, thereby securing the pleasure of our maker Allah Azza wa Jal and attaining success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa. May He Azza wa Jal forgive all of our sins, accept our good deeds, and just as how He united us here in this beautiful masjid, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.